The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Area 45 with Bijani and Creighton.
All right, hanging out with us as we start the 8 o'clock hour is a native from Waco, graduate from Baylor University and Hall of Famer, John McClain. John, appreciate you sticking around with us for another segment, as always. John, let's go ahead and get into a little football conversation, if you don't mind. 1 week away from Texans training camp beginning, what's the first thing you look for in the early days of from the home team at a camp?
To me, there's only one thing that matters more than anything else, their offensive line. And it's one of the few times people usually watch the ball. I remember one time Mike Kolevac, who was personnel director and general manager of the Oilers, said, watch the scouts. They always watch the offensive line. You can tell if it's going to be a run or a pass. And so it's hard to do. It's hard to not watch the ball. But starting when they put on pads, then when they had their joint practices, and then their preseason games, there's going to be a lot of guys that have to play because who can they afford to sit out? You know, Laremy Tunsil's not here. He wouldn't have played. He never showed up in the offseason program other than the mandatory minicamp. So most of the, I don't know, maybe Titus Howard, but if Titus is going to play another new position, he's going to need some playing time. To me, the offensive line needs more playing time in preseason than any other area because no area needs more hitting in the offseason than the linemen, but they can't even put on pads. It's patty cake. So the line, I'm eager to see the new receivers, Christian Kirk, Jaden Higgins, Jalen Noel. And another thing I'm interested in, how does Nick Caserio justify giving Jaden Higgins a guaranteed contract, but not Ariante Irsrie? He's a second-round pick, too, and one of 28 that hasn't signed because they all want guaranteed contracts like Higgins got. So I can't imagine what that conversation is like with Irsrie's agent. Yeah, we did give this guy one, but we're not giving you one because. So I'm eager to see the line and the receivers. The defense is going to be really good starting up front where they have so much depth in the line. I suspect by the time they get around to the 53-man roster, we'll see some guys going for fifth, sixth, and seventh round draft choices from the defensive line because they are stacked. And they've got depth at linebacker, should have an outstanding secondary. And, you know what? Another thing I'm going to be watching, they let John Weeks go, which I think was a tremendous mistake. He's with the 49ers. Mm-hmm. And I admit, I like Weeks because we went to Baylor and we talk about Baylor all the time. But 15 years, and the guy they had on there to replace him, they've already cut. He signed somewhere else. But by God, there better not be a bad snap or an extra point or a punt that costs them because the new guy will hear about it. So hey, we all took Weeks for granted because he was so good for so long, such a great guy and a team leader. And I hope he does the very best against the 49ers. And he will be playing against the Texans this season.
Hey, John, let me, because you mentioned about how the Texans gave Higgins a guaranteed contract, you know, being the second pick in the second round. But they haven't done so for Irsrie, who's later on in the round. And really, the first two picks in the second round are signed. Both got guaranteed money. And none of the other second-round picks are signed throughout the league. This coming, like, right on the heels of, you know, the story about how the NFL and the NFLPA may have colluded to not reveal the result of a collusion case where the arbitrator basically ruled, yeah, the NFL colluded, but we're not going to say they colluded. What kind of disruption is this to the NFL with none of these second-round picks being signed? We're a week to camp.
Well, if it's early in camp, obviously they're rookies. I think the guy will be the first to sign is the running back from the Browns who's got busted and arrested, and he lost any kind of leverage. And then it'll probably start near the bottom of the second round. You know, agents always negotiate for themselves. If you get a guaranteed contract like Schlesinger or Higgins and the others don't, next year when you're recruiting players, you can say, hey, I got my guy guaranteed contract in the second round. That other guy you're thinking about, he didn't. And so agents are always have their eye on the next deals. And they'll start to fold. Players or parents will tell them, look, the kid needs to be in there. And Ursary is one of them that needs to be in there. He's an offensive lineman. He didn't get to hit anybody since he was at Minnesota. So I think when they start off with their five linemen, there's a good chance that five is not going to be the five that starts with the Rams because of play and maybe injuries. But it's going to be so interesting to see them, to see what Cole Popovich does that they did not do under Chris Strasser. And then, of course, we're not going to know squat about Nick Caley till they get to L.A. He's not going to show anything. But we'll hear players talking about him, as they always. They'll be very favorable. And I can't wait to see this offense under Caley. I just wish there was some law that said, okay, you got to show early in camp what you're going to do in regular season so we could see. But it'll be worth the buildup and worth the wait.
John, you mentioned, you know, at the very beginning, the offensive line is the number one thing you're looking for. You mentioned, you know, it's probably going to hurt Ursary if he doesn't get to camp on time. When you're looking at the line, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I would say maybe a month or so ago, there were a couple of players who were talking about how much they love Popovich and how this line is going to be different and it's going to be more physical. And then this past week, we've had a couple of different linemen talk about how, you know, they want to play this physical game. They're looking forward to this physical game. You know, they love Popovich and they love Caley. Does any of that matter to you, or is that just something that, hey, the fans love it because they want to hear about the offensive line wants to punch guys in the mouth? But does that mean anything to you when you're listening to them? Does that make you think, hey, this is their mindset? These guys want to come in and be physical and hit? Or is this, hey, it's the offseason, I don't care until you show me?
No, this time last year, man, our offense is going to be so good under Bobby Slowick now that Bobby's got his rookie year as a play caller in. And our offensive line is going to be even better with Chris Strasser, yada, yada, yada. They always say that. Have you ever heard anybody say, man, I'm worried about the play caller. I'm worried about this or that. They all say it. Okay, prove it. They didn't prove it last year. I still can't figure out how in 2023 that offensive line, which was using guys off the street and played so much better under the same coaches than last season. I can't find anybody who can tell me. I've talked to current people, former people that watched the team. It was one of life's great mysteries. But the best thing about it, they didn't try to put a Band-Aid on it. Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans didn't come back and say, oh, it's not as bad as all you guys say. Well, they thought it was just as bad as we do. That's why they got rid of so many of them and brought in five new guys.
John McClain, our guest on Sports Radio 610. John, I've got four names for you. I need you to tell me which one of these players for the Texans does the team need to see the most from this training camp? Christian Harris, Damian Pierce, John Mechie, or Cam Robinson?
Obviously, Cam Robinson, because he's supposed to be a starting left tackle. And a guy would throw in there, who's the right tackle? Blake Fisher. Blake Fisher didn't get drafted in the second round last year to sit on the bench in his second season. And so Blake Fisher, who's had to start a few games because of injuries, He needs to step up and prove that he was worth a second-round pick. It's very important for him. Juice Scruggs, another second-round pick who hasn't been worth it. He needs to step up and show he was worth their the faith they showed in him when they took him in the second round. And you're right. You're exactly right, Sean. When you talk about those other guys, make it or break it mm-hmm. for all of them, except Robinson, he's on a one-year deal. He got $14 million. He's got a chance if he played 17 games last year, got traded, went to Minnesota. You know, they had a great season there, regular season. So this is a big season for him because if he stays healthy and plays well, he's got a chance to make even more money.
It's, I've always found, like, you know, getting into camp and it's like, okay, well, there's always like a handful of players that you want to watch. And, you know, Sean's talking about how, you know, there's some veterans that they have to watch. But with, I guess with the wide receiver group, right, you got the two rookies who they took one in the second round and then one in the third round. One of those two guys you would think has to be like a starter. How important is it, like, to watch which one of those two guys? And obviously we haven't seen a whole lot of them, but as of right now, if you had to pick which one of them would have the bigger impact, would it be Higgins or would it be Knoll?
Higgins, because he's outside opposite Nico Collins, and Christian Kirk's going to be inside. And when they go to four wides or somebody gets hurt, Knoll will play. And, you know, we're talking really about and all those guys mentioned earlier by Sean, except Robinson, are backups. And, yes, they're trying to make the team. They got a lot of guys. Xavier Hutchinson's another one. But when you talk about the offensive line, Cam Robinson's a starter. Blake Fisher's supposed to be a starter. You know, Juice Scruggs, is he going to step up? And they brought in so many new guys who are veterans. Cole Popovich is going to have his hands full determining who's going to be the guy. What we saw in the off-season program, even though they didn't have pads on, with Andrews at center, that was shocking since they got two other centers that we know of, one Scruggs, who they paid dearly to get. But, you know, when he had a cup of coffee, right guard, he played pretty well. And yet Titus is playing right guard. I thought Titus had his best season playing left guard, but they've moved him because of Tomlinson, who did not play well last season. So I think it's intriguing to watch them, to see how it's all going to play out. And when they do those joint practices and they can hit going full speed, that's when we're going to really get an idea about what these offensive linemen are capable of doing.
You know, a lot's going to be really fun to follow in training camp. But one thing that I'm going to be keeping an eye on throughout the course of the season is, you know, what the Texans see from C.J. Gardner-Johnson, both on and off the field. We played some audio from him last night, did an interview this week with the Pivot Podcast and Ryan Clark, and they were going through kind of like, you know, they asked him flat out, like, why are you a Houston Texan? And he went on to talk about, like, everything that kind of went wrong, went south in Philadelphia, particularly last year, from his ejection in that Washington game to, you know, a scuffle in a weekly practice or whatever it was. And he just seems like another one of those guys, but he might be at the very top of the list, John, in terms of, you know, very interesting, different, strong personality, character guys that you're bringing in. And, you know, by character, I mean like character guys, you know, that might be a little bit difficult to handle for guys in the Texans locker room. How do you see that playing out? Do you anticipate, like, him kind of hitting the ground running with the Texans, or do you agree? Is that something we should kind of keep an eye on?
He's a loose cannon. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll say whatever he thinks. And there's, when a guy bounces around the league, Philadelphia's had him twice now,
yeah,
has six interceptions and helps you win a Super Bowl and you get rid of him for Kenyon Green, there's got to be an issue there. And I'm sure he would like to stay with one team. They're deep at safety. You know, you got to worry about Jimmy Ward. He's got that legal issue, but he gets hurt every year anyway. And Kalen Bullock, saw Ryan Clark this week just praising him like crazy as a breakout safety. And of course, their corners are as good as anybody. And, but I tell you what, he is a character. You know, from the T-shirts he had made for their parade, not pornographic, what is a good word, and Swifties, about footballs. And so
innuendo.
The Texans don't have anybody like that. You know, they don't have a loose cannon. And so I don't think anybody's going to be silencing him. The media will go to him about every subject, and he likes to talk. And so he's going to be fun to cover because he's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
That's for sure, man. That's the General John McClain with us every Wednesday, Area 45. John, I got to say, before we let you go, man, tip of the cap to you for taking the high road. I'm assuming you caught the fight song intro that we had for you to start this segment, right?
Yeah, I understand it. That's fine.
Don't we
this. I thought it was hilarious.
Don't we this. That's a French word. Don't we this.
I thought it was hilarious what happened at the SEC media days. Did you see the commissioner apologize to Sarkisian? He didn't need that, but I thought that was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Well, I wanted to test
you. As long as you guys have me on, you can play any fight song you want.
I wanted to see if you were going to be like Sark and take the high road and like not acknowledge it at all.
Just
or
no sell it. Complete no sell.
That's what I did.
There we go.
Like Goldberg taking a punch. Total no sell.
I'm going to be on Sunday at the coaches convention in San Antonio. And the first day, Craig Way, voice of the Longhorns, is up on a stage with every Division I football coach, head football coach in Texas, and they all have microphones, and Craig interviews them. It would be so funny if they played the Aggie War Hymn again when Sarkisian comes out, and then play Texas Fight when Mike Elko comes out.
Yes, they need to have fun with it. They got to.
They should. They won't do it, of course. But it was hilarious.
Appreciate you being a good sport, man. We'll talk to you again next week. Thank you, John.
Guys, thank you very much, as always.
Thanks, John.
Yes, sir. He's awesome. John McClain.
That was that piece of greatness with the audio, that was all you.
Yeah. Well,
you deserve full credit for that. You thought that up. You executed. That was all you. I deserve no credit for that at all.
I told you. The only thing that gave me the idea was the fact that, like, Sark did not acknowledge that at all. And I was
sold it.
Wonder if John would do the same thing. We'll
no
see.
Sold it.
I thought for sure John would like interject, like, you know, turn this mess off. You know?
Oh my God.
Yeah, didn't even get that out of him. All right, more Area 45 coming up next. We'll react to some stuff that John had to say. It's Area 45. Stay put.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Area 45 with Bijani and Creighton.
Welcome back in. It's Area 45, Sports Radio 610, alongside Patrick Creighton. I'm Sean Bijani. Chris Santiago, we got you till 11 o'clock. Coming up next segment, we'll get into hot leads, day's top stories, and all that good stuff. John McClain, as always, I think with some really good insight on, you know, what to look for coming up here in the next week, next Wednesday, first day of Texans training camp, some stuff that you'll be looking for. We'll get to some Texans audio later on from two players, in fact, one of which I don't feel like we talk about at all, not even just enough, but literally at all. Jake Andrews, who a lot of people have, and I think John's even mentioned him as the most likely candidate to be your starting center going to training camp. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I feel like he's mentioned that before. He was on Texans All Access this week and had some interesting things to say about Nick Caley and the offense, and particularly what he thinks the offensive line is going to be capable of doing. We'll have that for you a little bit later on. And some other stuff from the offensive side of the ball on what to expect day one and beyond from Nick Caley in Texans training camp. I asked him about Cam Robinson for a reason, PC, because of what John noted. The contract. It's a one-year deal. $12 million bucks can be worth up to $14 million, I believe. And given the situation that I don't think we've spent enough time on, hopefully it gets worked out within the next week. I have a feeling it's going to be one of those announcements like day one of camp, you know, before it officially starts when Nick Caserio is available. Like, yes, you know, we and Arianti Ursary have agreed to a contract kind of a thing. And then he jogs out of the bubble and gets in the stretching line along with everybody else. But because he's not signed a rookie contract yet, I thought Cam Robinson, because I don't know, do you still think there's a group of people, a large amount of people out there that think Arianti Ursary, hey, second round pick, man, he could win a left tackle job in training camp and beat out the veteran. It's only a 1 year deal. I don't know what you think, but to me, given the fact that he's not on a contract, he is, and Cam is the vet, and it is a 1 year deal with, you know, pretty good money, 12 to 14 million. I mean, a lot of pressure is on him. The Texans need to see the guy that they thought they were getting when they agreed to terms with him this offseason.
I think Cam is your starter. I think Cam is your starter until he shows he's not capable of being your starter.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and that make you feel more comfortable too, like him being a veteran than, you know, just a rookie coming in and taking the job right away. I mean,
considering the track record of Texans drafting offensive linemen in recent years.
Yeah.
Do we really want the rookie to start?
I mean, no, but we can't all of a sudden just start talking about a guy and set him up for failure because everybody else has failed to this point or underwhelmed.
And I'm not about that he's going to fail. Just about, I mean, it's at the end of the second round. Doesn't it make sense to make sure you get him acclimated before you put him on the blind side of your franchise quarterback?
Yeah.
And you make sure he knows the blocking scheme. Make sure he is fully immersed in how it's supposed to work, how the audibles work, how the pickups work, how the switches work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before you, all right, don't let CJ get hit.
Yeah.
You know, what was Jake Matthews talking about? Jake Andrews talking about? We're not going to let anybody hit CJ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like they talk about the swarm mentality, being physical, and how it, like, the most important thing for them is nobody gets in CJ's lap. I think that was his phrase, was not in CJ's lap.
Yeah.
And whether it's Jake Andrews or Jared Patterson, and, you know, look, it very well could be Jake Andrews. This line is expected to be a lot more physical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Laken Tomlinson didn't have a great year last year. But now moving into the Texans' new system where he's going to get to literally punch the snot out of people.
Yeah.
Maybe that fits him better.
You know, if you ran it back with last year's offensive line, you'd be saying the same damn thing. You know, that guy didn't have a great year last year. You know, that guy didn't have a great year last year. The difference is they brought in different guys that, you know what, didn't have great years last year. And they're hoping that under new coaching, new system, and playing together with maybe guys that fit the mold and what they're looking for, like as a collective, that collectively they can be a better product than we've seen in any of the last 2 years combined.
I thought, considering Titus had to move to left guard, I thought Titus played pretty well last year. You heard John McClain say it was like his best year was last year at left guard. That was his best year. And I thought Jared Patterson played pretty well. He wasn't an all-star, but I thought he was solid. As far as the other guys, they're not here anymore with the exception of Juice Scruggs.
Fair.
And I thought last year that we only saw it really for what, game and a half, and only one game that actually mattered. Juice Scruggs, I thought, played pretty well at right guard. I thought he played much better at right guard.
Very small sample size.
Yes, and I understand. I'm agreeing with that.
Mm-hmm.
I said one game that mattered.
Yeah.
It was a playoff game, so it mattered a lot. I thought he played better at right guard than he ever has at center in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, what I'm saying is that, hey, on a collective, this is the worst offensive line in football last year. So it's hard to say, like, then single guys out and say, you know what? Yeah, you know, he was pretty good, and he was okay. I mean, we're literally talking about, like, 3/5 of the offensive line that, you know what, they were pretty good last year. Well, three-fifths, like...
Their best offensive lineman is not here.
Yeah, and not here.
Right, and their two worst offensive linemen, also not here.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe, you know, look, Scruggs was a second-round pick. This is probably a sink-or-swim type of camp for him in terms of, are you a starter or are you a backup? I think he has a lot to prove. I think Blake Fisher, it's his second year, not as much on the sink or swim level, but I do think that a healthy Trent Brown is very, very strong competition.
Definitely.
At right tackle.
Yeah, that's
if Trent
what they
Brown
want.
Is healthy, that is a that's a lot of competition. And I don't know that Blake Fisher is ready to win that. He had some flashes last year where he looked tremendous, and a couple of plays where he looked like a rookie.
I love the mindset, though. I love the ability that the Texans have been able to follow through with the mindset. Like, you talk about, John McClain mentioned this, like, in reference to who? Guys talking about their offensive coordinators. Like, yeah, what else are they going to say? They always say, yeah, he's a great guy. Yeah, it's a great system. It's going to work out, blah, blah, blah. They all say the same thing. Every team says, we want to foster competition every year in training camp at every position. They all say that, but are they really doing it to the best of their ability? Sometimes it's just very difficult to bring in like good quality guys to vie for starting positions.
If you're not paying them $1 zillion, you're trying to find guys with skill sets as opposed to track records.
But also having them compete with guys that, you know, had been picked at a fairly prominent, you know, spot in the draft. Like, you got some second round picks here, man, that, and never mind even like a guy like Jared Patterson. It's not a second round pick, not a third, not a fourth, not a fifth. He was a sixth round pick, but he started more games for you at center than anybody else the last 2 years. So you don't have him do that if you don't like something about him, because you could be desperate as hell. You could go call up another Questenberry or go call up somebody else and have them come in and do that. No, they didn't. They chose to go with a guy that they drafted in the sixth round. But my point is that they've actually been able to foster, at least right now on paper, let's see what it looks like in a week and beyond from now in training camp, like real veteran dudes that have started NFL games, a lot of them, for teams going up against guys that they have drafted. Now, gun to the Texans' head, if you ask them, hey, who do you really want to win out? I think they would honestly say, the best man. Don't give a damn if it's a second-round pick or somebody that we just signed to a cheap deal this offseason. The goal this year is to put the very best guys from day one in front of C.J. Stroud, because the goal this year is AFC title game and beyond. It has to. That is the next step. That is the next step. It is a results-oriented business, and the results, the last 2 years, you make it to the second round and you get booted. Like, that's been the result. You got to get beyond the second round. You've got to stamp your ticket to the AFC title game. That's the goal. And so if it means, man, all these guys that didn't have very good years last year are the guys that get it done this year, that means it worked. That means something's working between offensive coordinator, offensive line coach, just overall talent evaluation mindset and the collective to be able to bring all those guys together.
You know, they got four guys on their offensive line who are first or second round picks.
Mm-hmm.
And you expect out of those four, at least two are going to start. And the other two should be primary backups and maybe starting by midseason, next season. Look, you know there's going to be injuries. There's always injuries.
Yeah.
And every year they always have injuries on the offensive line and backups are playing. The difference is this year, those backups might be a little better than the backups that we've seen before. And they have that, like you said, they have that mix of high draft pick and veteran experience now with a new, more aggressive just system that they're going to play, more aggressive coaching, that they want them to play more physical, more violent. They tried to identify guys they think, well, that's what they're going to be good at.
Yeah, and
they're going to be better at punching people in the face than they are at say, finesse blocking some kind of zone scheme or you know, how they're going to, you know, we talked about this, like for example, you know, we've seen in the past extremely physical defenses dominate offenses where the offense was a high-powered offense, but the offensive line was more of a finesse offensive line than a physical offensive line, and therefore they get overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. It happened to the Giants in the Super Bowl against the Ravens. It happened to the Broncos in the Super Bowl against the Seahawks. This is something we have seen on the biggest of stages. The Texans are, last year, their offensive line got run over. And I think that, you know, essentially D'Amico Ryans was not happy with what he probably felt was a lack of physicality.
Yeah.
Look, Tunsil's not a physical. He's a technique guy. He's kind of a dancing bear out there. He's not a mauler. Even Titus isn't really a mauler, but he's more physical than Laramie is. Mm-hmm. And I think they're looking for guys who are going to be maulers.
Yeah, they say his body type's really changed this offseason, Titus Howard. So I'm anxious to see that next week. All right, we'll get back to some Texans at the top of the hour. Coming up next, hot leads, today's top stories. We got it for you on Area 45 next.
What?
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
These are the new leads.
Now look, I need the leads.
These are the Glengarry leads.
Two lead cards for tonight, two lead cards for tomorrow.
Why give him the good leads?
He's got the leads.
He's got the leads.
He's got the good leads.
The whole thing is the leads.
They stole the Glengarry leads.
Let's talk about something important. Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
All right, time for hot leads, Area 45 style. Did you know there is a Houston athlete up for an ESPY award tonight? It's for best record-breaking performance. You take a guess who it is? At least give me the team that you think they play for.
Team USA?
Oh, you already know?
Well, no, just like record-breaking performance. It's got to be, you know, someone that I'm very sad is married. It's got to be Simone Biles.
No.
It's not Simone Biles.
No. I thought you were right. You said Team USA. Yes, it's a Team USA member, but of the basketball variety, Kevin Durant, who is a Houston Rocket, is up for best record-breaking performance because of his Olympic accomplishment with Team USA.
Wait, Kevin Durant has greater Olympic accomplishment than Simone Biles?
Simone Biles is not even a candidate to win this award. Kevin Durant's going up against Gino Auriemma, Caitlin Clark, Alexander Ovechkin for best record-breaking performance. Now, Ovechkin obviously is up for it for breaking Gretzky's goal scoring record. Well, and so if this is me power ranking these in my opinion, who I think should win, I got Ovechkin because he broke Gretzky's goal scoring record. I got Caitlin Clark because it's Caitlin Clark and she set multiple WNBA records and she's one of the most recognizable, most popular faces and names in sport.
If Caitlin Clark wins, how many random WNBA players run up on the stage and mug her?
Zero, because I think Shane Gillis would like kill all of them. He's a big Caitlin Clark fan. Gino Auriemma, and then Kevin Durant. Those are my power rankings in terms of who I think should win this award. Durant, hey, what record did he break? Well, following the Paris Olympics last year, Durant now holds the record for most gold medals won by a male athlete in basketball with 4. He also holds the record for most points scored by any U.S. Olympic basketball player, male or female. Previous was Carmelo Anthony and Lisa Leslie, respectively. And he's got the record for most three-pointers made in Olympic history. So we'll see if Kevin Durant gets to take home some hardware tonight or not. I don't think he will. I think it should probably be your guy, Alexander Ovechkin, don't you know? Up next on Hot Leads, Bradley Beal. We've talked about him a time or two the last couple of weeks. Jalen Green's new teammate in Phoenix
Not.
Lakers fans getting ready to cry.
Laker fans?
Lakers. Yeah. Laker media stands.
Yeah.
Because every Laker stan in the media, oh, Bradley Beal's going to go to the Lakers, and they're going to be unstoppable. Bradley Beal's going to go to the Lakers. They're going to win a title. They're going to be favorites to win a title.
He's going to L.A. That's guaranteed.
Yeah, he is.
Not the Lakers, though. Beal, 32, joins the Clippers now in a two-year, $11 million deal with a player option after this season, and that deal will be final once he clears waivers. Beal's giving back nearly $14 million out of the $110 owed on the final 2 years of his contract with the Suns. That completes the deal. The Clippers, well, you talk about a team that's been busy, man. So he's already joining Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, but they brought in Brooke Lopez in free agency. They traded Norman Powell, really good defender, to the Miami Heat in a three-team swap that brought in John Collins from the Jazz. Like, Beal's not, I'm not going to say he's a horrible defender, but he's not like, a really good defender like Norman Powell was. But, dude, that's a pretty dang solid lineup they're putting together for the Clippers over there, which, yeah, it was a pretty good team this past regular season. The Clippers going to be a tough out, I would say.
In 2017, they'd be amazing.
In 2017, why do you say 2017?
Because that's when those guys that's when those guys stayed healthy.
Well, yeah, I mean, Harden was healthy for the most part, wasn't he, last year?
Harden, yeah, but and Kawhi
was Kawhi out for a considerable period
Kawhi's
of time again?
Always out.
He was out at the beginning of the season, and then he was still hurt, I guess. And then towards
coming off of the previous
correct,
year,
yeah.
Huh?
So yeah. Towards the second half of the season, that's when he came back.
Yeah, neither one of those guys really like Byron Buxton level, to use a cross sport reference. There, I mean, they play a higher percentage of games usually.
I don't know. I think Kawhi might be up there.
Ah, come on, yeah. Buxton's bad, bro.
I mean, for the past like 3 years, I want to say,
yeah.
Kawhi's probably been up there, but I will say Buxton is pretty high.
Don't be doing my guy Kawhi like that. By the way, you'll enjoy this, PC. Former Rocket James Harden credited with being responsible for bringing in one Bradley Aloysius Beal to La La Land of the Clipper variety. He was the first to reach out to his people and him. And said, hey, we're some swell guys over here. We think we can win some basketball games with your services. And so he said, yeah, sure, why not? James Harden, a team guy. Team guy, James Harden, PC.
It's only going to matter if they give Beal enough opportunities to shoot the basketball. Because that's what he's best at, shooting the basketball. Not watching Devin Booker and Kevin Durant shoot it 22 times a game each.
Yeah, yeah.
He needs to shoot the basketball.
It'll be hard between him, Kawhi, and James Harden over there now.
Oh, Kawhi will miss plenty of time.
Yeah, fair. Fair. More basketball news of the female variety. Indiana Fever star Caitlin Clark out with a groin injury.
Again. This time it's the right groin.
Yeah, they don't know how long she's going to be out, though, because her status for All-Star Weekend in Indianapolis is undecided. Cite the latest report. She was named a participant in this upcoming Friday's three-point contest and previously announced as a starter and captain for Saturday's All-Star game. It's her right groin, which she hurt last night. No punches thrown, I would imagine. Nobody got purposefully shoved to the floor.
Oh, no, people got shoved to the floor.
Was it Caitlin Clark?
Caitlin got banged around plenty. Aaliyah Boston literally got a forearm to the face. And a foul was not even called.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, here we go again.
Sophie Cunningham got slammed to the floor.
Body slammed.
The rest basically decided they are going to prove to the world that they do not ref Caitlin Clark different. And they do not let Caitlin Clark get hit with a bunch of extra physicality by letting everybody on the Fever get hit with extra physicality. Say we don't single out Caitlin, we let everybody in Indiana get their ass kicked.
I love it. I love it. Final on Hot Leads. Houston Cougar basketball helping boost.
Wait, you didn't say it right.
I'm not done yet.
But you have to say it when you say Houston Cougar.
Oh, man, you got to trust me on this, PC. Houston Cougar basketball helping boost the Houston football program. Go Cougs!
Man, you could have got at least three Go-Cougs in there.
I'm not done. UH football has gotten commits from 2 4-star football players, both receivers, one of them a receiver and a DB, within the last week. Paris Melvin Jr. and Jaden Warren, future Cougs, class of 2026, Go-Cougs. Melvin Jr. was on a podcast with Anthony Yanez, who covers UH sports on a freelance basis. Here was him talking about why and how.
Did you say he was talking about Andy
Yanez? Huh?
Andy Yanez?
Andy Yanez, yeah.
Oh, I know Andy. He's a good dude.
You know Andy, yeah. Young kid, right?
Yeah.
Covers all Cougs sports. Does a really good job. He was asked, like, if the basketball program and what Samson's been able to build, like, really kind of helped him make a decision to go to UH.
Yes. I would most definitely say it just it showed me how big really Houston is, for real. Like, it showed me how if you're winning and you're doing the right things and how the city comes behind your back and got your back through everything.
I love that for the reason, like, you know how we talk about players wanting to play for D'Amico Ryans, you know? I wonder what the effect is like when kids in other sports see the success that other programs are having and the support that they're getting from the city and from the school, if it helps sway them to just want to be a part of that. Because it's not an easy thing to do when you're going up against like TCU or other Big 12 schools and some out of state as well. To go to UH, which I feel like we say this every year, is building the football program, but they seem to be building really fast from a recruiting standpoint now under Willie Fritz. Go Cougs.
Maybe they've got the right coach.
Maybe so.
Sometimes, look, they thought, I mean, think about it. That coaching position has really been questionable since Tom Herman left.
Yeah, well, it was a turnstile, you know, then and before. And then now, you know, since Herman left, you've wanted to use the trap door on guys that they've brought in, you know, since then. Like a Levine and Dana Holgorsen, you know, wore out his welcome after a while. The trap door is more appropriate than just even the turnstile. Maybe they got the right guy in Willie Fritz. But Willie Fritz, people forget, like, has been an excellent recruiter everywhere he's been. Spent all those years up in Tulane, and he had some top recruiting classes the last few years that he was there. But to be able to do it and get a 5-star, 2 4-stars, and they've got some really exciting 3-stars coming in this next season and the one beyond, he's putting in a lot of work. And who said it? Who did we have on the other night? Chris Baldwin. Was it last night that we had Chris Baldwin on?
Monday.
Who said Willie Fritz hadn't even left the damn state from a recruiting standpoint.
All local.
Yeah. You know what their slogan is this year? It's nothing like, you know, fancy. It's Houston. It's Houston 2025. Like, the focus for the football team is just this year, this season. Nothing that happened before matters. It's this year. And I love that. Like, you don't have to be, you know, stupid, silly, crazy, gimmicky all the time. But that's the focus. And that, to me, says a lot about, like, the group that he has now. But the kids that he's getting to commit, these are area kids.
Do you think Tony Levine looks at John O'Korn and says, "You did this to me"?
John O'Korn. Well, didn't John O'Korn end up in Michigan?
Yeah.
Not playing football as
he,
well?
John O'Korn had, like, a really good, like, freshman year.
Mm-hmm.
And then just...
And then. Yeah.
And then died as a player.
And we know what happened and then.
And then he went, up to Michigan, and he did a lot of nothing.
Yeah. All right, that's it for Hot Leads. Patrick Creighton, Sean Pajani, Chris Santiago. If you'd like to be a part of the show, hit us up. 713-572-4610. Coming up next, a week away from Texans camp starting, we'll hear from a couple of guys from the offensive side of the ball on what to expect this season with a new-look offense. Next.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.